Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. Can you believe it's Advent? Luke chapter 1, begin first week. In case you don't understand how Advent works, it is the four Sundays before Christmas. This year, the first week always kind of throws me off. You know, I'm just digesting the turkey from Thanksgiving, and it's Advent. But this year, Christmas falls on Sunday, and you'll be hearing more about this, but we're going to have a Christmas Eve service Saturday night. And it's what we've had the last several years, really a blessing of a service, and there's no preaching. I saw some amens. I know y'all are saying it under your breath. I appreciate that. But Christmas Eve service, and then Sunday for Christmas, we will have no Sunday school that week, and we'll have a condensed worship service. It will be a little shorter than normal. And then the next Sunday is New Year's Day, and we will also have no Sunday school and a shorter service. So just so you can start to kind of plan your Christmas schedule. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. You know, the Christmas story, we read it, and I think many times we almost feel like it's maybe I'm the only one that has ever felt that way. When we don't really think about it, we kind of just think it's almost a story out of a storybook. But a couple of years ago when we went to the Holy Land and we began to see these places that things happened, biblical things happened, it suddenly became even more to life that this really happened. There really is a Bethlehem. Did you know that? There really is a Bethlehem. And there's a Nazareth, and there's a Jerusalem, and all of that. There's a Sea of Galilee, and so forth. And starting in verse 26, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. That's significant because the prophets had foretold that Jesus would come through the line of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God." Now I want you to take note there. Mary had done nothing. She had done nothing at this point, but she had found favor with God. "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." I want you to think back to the creation story. This is what this reminds me of. And in Genesis 1, it talks about how the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters when he created. Picture that in your mind as we read that again. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. And I'm going to skip over to verse 44, or verse 45. "Blessed is she," Elizabeth said, as Mary made the trip to see Elizabeth. Elizabeth said, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Amen. Pray with me. Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that hovered over the waters when you created, the same Holy Spirit who overshadowed Mary, the same Holy Spirit that conceived the God-Son, Jesus, that Holy Spirit, come and speak to this morning. Speak in power and authority. In Jesus' name, amen. I was reading this birth story of Jesus, Mary's story. I was interested to kind of go back and relive a little bit with Cheryl. I asked Cheryl what she remembered about when the doctor told her that she was pregnant. And Cheryl said that her greatest memory was just the overwhelming feeling of and the overwhelming blessing that God had seen her fit to carry a child, to be the mother of a child. And I remember I had similar feelings as the dad when Cheryl told me that what the doctor had said. I remember it at work, and I later did this at the house, but at work I went and bought a big jar of pickles. And I went and bought a big gallon of ice cream. And I set them on the break room table, and I wrote out a little poem, and as I recall, it said something like this. Cheryl called today. I got a big surprise. You'll never guess, the rabbit died. And for you youngsters, bless your hearts. They used to have to test. Never mind, I'll tell you later. They used to have to test for pregnancy with a rabbit. It's a long story. Anyway, just the joy of knowing that you're going to be a mom and a dad. And I remember how joyful we were when Kirby was born, and we the nursery was all ready, and we brought her home. And then 2 years later, we had Jordan, and we stopped having children after that. I'm just kidding, Jordan. I love you, girl. Now, both of our daughters, very similar experiences. What a blessing they've been. I want you to watch this video from a movie called The Nativity Story about that first Christmas message that Mary received.
An angel told you this, that you would bear the Son of God, Mary.
Elizabeth had a baby, even in her old age.
Elizabeth has a husband.
Women have been put to death for this. They could stone you in the street.
Do you understand?
You should have stayed with Elizabeth.
Father, I have broken no vow.
Oh, you have broken every vow, Mary.
Was it one of her soldiers? Was it?
I have told the truth. Whether you believe is your choice, not mine.
I have told the truth. Whether you believe is your choice, not mine. We start a sermon series for this Advent season today. Heaven Sent. Heaven Sent is the name of the series. And this first week is entitled Mary's First Christmas. Mary's First Christmas. Mary was obviously a woman of great faith, And I wanted us to look at her story this morning. Now the difference I want to point out, we don't in the Protestant faith, and I want to be clear about that, because I know in the Catholic Church, if you were raised Catholic, they view Mary differently than we do. In the Protestant faith, we don't look at Mary as someone to be worshipped or someone to set on a pedestal, but we do look at her as blessed and as significant that God had found her worthy to be the mother of the Son of God. I want us to see what we can learn from Mary's story. The first thing I want us to look at is that faith is not age dependent. Young people, I want to repeat that, and I'm gonna go up into our Alpha Sunday School class. I'm gonna get in your business for just a minute. Faith is not age dependent. It's not like someday when I'm older and when I have more experience and I have more time, that's when God wants to use me. No, that's not it. And builders class. Can I get in y'all's business for a minute? I feel a little crazy, you know, getting in the builders class, because all of them are such strong men and women of the faith. But you don't run out of your usefulness either. God wants to use us wherever we are, whatever phase of life we're at. It's not like someday when I graduate, I'll be used by God, or now that I've retired, I'm no longer needed by God. No, faith is not age dependent. I want to talk just a second about Mary and her qualifications to be the mother of the King of Kings. In the Jewish tradition, a young Jewish girl, probably around 13 or 14, just after puberty is when this generally happened in the Jewish faith. They were pledged to be married, and they called it a betrothal or engagement. And it took place, as I said, shortly after puberty. So she was probably in that 13, 14-year-old range. And it was not like these days where we get engaged, and if something happens, it's kind of like, oh, well, that didn't work out. You know, I'll move on and try again. No, the betrothal was a serious matter. It was a contract made between the parents of the two people who had been pledged to one another, and it lasted about a year. And everything that the girl had, herself and all of her property at the time of the engagement, were considered the husband's. And so there was that seriousness to the betrothal. And in the Old Testament Jewish law, adultery was punishable by death. Now, Mary and Joseph living in Rome, they were probably under Roman law, which probably would have precluded them from her from being stoned to death. Probably would have just been a very humiliating and messy divorce under Roman law. But nonetheless, there was that the Jewish people looked at this as a stoning offense. So I want you to imagine you're 13, 14 years old. You've been pledged in marriage with all of that comes with that. And then an angel shows up and says, oh, by the way, you have conceived a child from the Holy Spirit, and you will give birth to the Son of God. Now, she gets to explain that to Joseph. She gets to explain that to her parents, as we saw in the video. She gets to explain that to the community, her church family, her extended family. How would you explain this? And you know, the only question that Mary had for the angel, I would have had a whole list of questions. You know, what's up? What? And we would have had a discussion. All she asked was, how can I be pregnant because I'm a virgin? That was her only question. Young lady of great faith at a very, very early age. Second thing, I want us to look at her story. Faith begins with a personal relationship with God. Faith begins with a personal relationship with God. She says in verse 47, Mary says, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." You know, for Mary, it wasn't about a religion or even a certain creed that she was living by. Her faith was based on a personal relationship with God. And it's that relationship that determines the entire response, her entire response. Listen, to Mary, God was not a religion or a creed. As I said, God was personal. And He was personal, and He had called her by name. Listen to the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, his words in chapter 43 says, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not." It's the same thing the angel, by the way, said to Mary. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." And I think Mary could add in there, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you have to face your parents with this story, I will be with you. When you have to face Joseph with this outlandish story, I will be with you. When you have to face a judgmental community, I will be with you." Put yourself in that situation. Is there something that God is asking you to do? Is there something that God is stirring in you and you need to hear that He has called you by name and He will be with you whatever you're facing? Third thing I want us to learn from Mary: faith pleases God. Did you ever think that God can be pleased? God can be pleased. We can please Him. He says in the angel says in verse 28, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." The Lord is with you, and that's what we just read, that He will be with you, that the angel was saying, God has found favor with you. In verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." It said twice, "You have found favor with God." So there's this idea of that God is going to bestow His favor on her. He's going to bless her to be the mother of His Son, to be the mother of a whole kingdom. And yet, He also has found favor with Mary. Fourth thing I want us to look at this morning: faith focuses on God's kingdom. Faith focuses on God's kingdom. Now, all of this is going on for Mary. Can you just imagine? How many of you can remember either yourself or a child going through the months leading up to a wedding? Do you remember the details and the excitement of, what colors is it going to be, and what are the flowers going to look like, and what music are we going to play, and what church are we going to have? All that excitement of the plans of a wedding. I've officiated at a few, and I understand all of that. They were excited. They'd been pledged to be married to one another. There's this waiting, this year waiting, and all of a sudden her legs were knocked out from under. Everything changed. What gets someone through that? Listen to this from the passage we just read. "You will be with child," the angel said, "and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Do you think that perhaps Mary was seeing something greater than herself going on? Do you ever see that? Maybe none of us are giving birth to the Son of God, but God has things in store for us. He has a call on our lives. He has things he wants us to do, and he wants us to focus on his kingdom. Too many times, and I'll just tell you, too many times for myself, when God is calling me to do something that I don't particularly think will be all that great, all that pleasurable, I begin to count the cost. Let's see. Okay, God wants, and I'm not trying to put pressure on my wife and I by bringing this up again, but I'm just being honest with you. I shared a few weeks ago, probably a couple of months ago, that we have thought, it's not serious, so don't anybody think that this is fixing to happen, but we have thought about the possibility of what would it look like if we adopted like a young teenage child. Now that our girls are grown and they're out on their own, we've started looking at that possibility, and guess what I'm doing? I'm considering the cost. And I'm not just saying physical monetary costs. Well, golly, I kind of like relaxing. I kind of like it that our girls are through with the ball games and the band concerts and the choir this and that and running them here and running. I mean, that's kind of nice. And so I'm measuring the cost. Am I willing to do that? And the only motive that Cheryl and I would have to make a decision like that would be because we have something that a lot of these children need. We have a loving home. We have a loving home. So I'm weighing the cost. Cheryl's weighing the cost. And we do that, don't we? We weigh the cost, the personal cost, against God's will, his kingdom purposes. We do that over and over again. Mary must have done that. Fifth thing, faith ultimately leads us to humble obedience. Faith leads us to humble obedience. Listen to Mary, her response. Again, her world was turned upside down. She's a little girl. And here was her response. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. It would have been so easy for her to say, I am the Lord's servant, but I don't want to do that. I am the Lord's servant, but what are people going to think? I'm the Lord's servant, but that doesn't work into my plans. She goes on to say, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. You see, when God is calling us, if we're surrendered to him, now the trick is to listen for his voice. But if God is calling us to do something and we're surrendered to him, we will respond with humble obedience. Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. There's that pleasing God again. I just look at Mary. She had done nothing. She was a young girl, probably had not had a whole lot of opportunities to do much right or wrong in her life because she was so young. But God saw something in her. He saw something in her before she lifted a finger to be faithful. In James we read that faith without deeds is dead. I want to, if you would, I want you to just bow your head with me this morning. God accomplished his will through a tiny, young little Jewish girl. And he wants to accomplish his will through you and me. begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If you don't, I pray that you will come and see me. Seek me out. Does your faith please God? Are you a man or woman of faith? What is God calling you to do? Maybe it's step out of your comfort zone. Maybe it's something simple like just inviting someone to church with you. Maybe it's loving someone that has hurt you, forgiving someone who's hurt you. Maybe it's loving someone who's not very lovable. What is God calling you to do? And how will you respond? Father, we come to you and we pray for the faith of this tiny little Jewish girl, Mary. Father, while she was young, you found favor with her because of the purity of her faith. Give us that kind of faith, Father. Show us what you'd have us to do, Father. Show us how we can be part of your prayer that said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Show us what you're calling us to do and give us courage to respond. We thank you for that baby Jesus. We thank you that he is the Word made flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. And we thank you that you sent that tiny little baby to ultimately die on our behalf. And we thank you that the tomb couldn't hold him. And therefore the tomb cannot hold us. That there is life in Christ Jesus. There is forgiveness. Give us that kind of faith, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If we will stand as we close this morning. If you, the altar is open, if you'd like to come and have some time at the prayer altar, if you'd like to come and let me pray for you or visit with me, come.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit dwells within me because you died and rose again.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit dwells within me. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love. to my King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor
our prayer be, and our response be the same as Mary's. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to us as the Lord has said. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless.
Before the world was made, before you spoke it to be, you were the King of Kings. Yes, you were. Yes, you were. Now you're ready.